Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Someone has said, if our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. But our greatest need was for eternal salvation. Therefore, God sent his son Jesus, who gave his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's why we're here tonight, because those of us who are in Christ have that hope of eternal salvation. And therefore, we are toiling and working to share with those who are outside of the ark of safety to come on in while you have the opportunity. Again, I want to thank the leadership of this fine congregation, the eldership here, your wonderful minister. You're truly blessed to have men of God who work together to advance the cause of Christ here in Middle Tennessee. I want to commend our song leader tonight. You know, this might be the only congregation that I'm aware of in which all of the elders sing well. That's right. That's one thing I've noticed. And I believe your preacher sings as well. All right. So some of you are shaking your heads back there, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. All right. But I tell you what, this is a gifted congregation. Amen. And these beautiful songs and that last song that Brother Daniels led us in, I'm glad they preached. Glad they toiled and were not afraid. I thought of Brother Marshall Keeble. Thought of Brother Marshall Keeble in 1914, committed his life to full-time evangelism. 1914 until his death in 1968. You do the math. 54 years toiling on the battlefield. And I'm so glad he preached, because Brother Keeble converted a man by the name of Luke Miller, who came to Jacksonville, Texas in 1947 and planted what is now the Seminary Heights Church of Christ. It was the Border Street Church of Christ that built a new building, paid for it, and that's the congregation that I was brought up in. That's where I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here I am standing before you as a product, if you will, a spiritual descendant of a man of God who preached the pure gospel, toiled, and was not afraid. Because think about it, in the 1930s and 1940s, there was a lot that black people in the South had to be afraid of. And so that's why we should always honor and hold in high regard those men of God and women of God who gave their lives to plant and the seed of the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. To those who are visiting with us and do not share in our religious convictions, we want you to know that you are a very special and honored guest. Please do not let this be your last time coming to be with the Hart Street Church of Christ. This is a special congregation, a warm and friendly congregation. And when this gospel meeting ends on tomorrow night, I can guarantee you that the true gospel will be promulgated from this pulpit, preached from this pulpit by the very capable minister of this congregation, Brother Amanzo Jones. To those who are visiting from our sister congregations, we want you to know that we appreciate your presence as well. I want to thank Brother Wallace for leading us in the prayer tonight. Good to have the other preachers who are here from our sister congregations. In fact, if you all don't mind, I would like to ask all of the preachers from our sister congregations to stand, if you will, these gospel preachers. If you don't mind, let's give them a love deposit. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming out tonight. Thank you for coming out tonight. Some of you have been here a couple of nights, and we truly appreciate your presence on tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you have your Bibles. First of all, now on yesterday evening, this side prevailed. This side prevailed. Now we got to come back on this side and see how they do tonight. Okay, let's see. All right, let's start on this side. Okay, all right. Hold, if you brought your Bible now, no song books, no pillows. Hold them high. All right. Okay. All right. About, let's see, 73%. All right, 73%. All right. Come on, let's see if y'all can make up from last night. Let's see. All right. Maybe 75%. All right. Wonderful. All right. Amen. I didn't do well in math, so y'all, amen. If you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. And I know that the book of Revelation is a book that a lot of folk are scared of. But for children of God, we should not be afraid of this book. In fact, we ought to read it with a certain air, if you will, of expectancy and enthusiasm and confidence, because this is a book of victory, a book of victory. Revelation chapter 12, and I want to begin reading with around verse number 7, and end with verse number 12. Revelation chapter 12, and beginning with verse number 7. Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse number 7. And if you have it, please let me know by saying amen. And the word of God reads as follows. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It reads slightly differently. However, the message is the same. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not what?
Prevail.
Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was what? Was cast out. That serpent of old. Notice he's called that old serpent. Is that right? Why? Because he's been around for such a long time. That old snake in the grass, if you will. Called the devil and Satan, who deceives who? The whole world. He was cast to the earth. And his what? A lot of people don't realize the devil has angels. And his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God, how often?
Day
and night has been cast down. Verse 11, and they overcame him by what? Thank God for the blood. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Here's the key verse. Verse 12 is the key verse for the lesson tonight. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. And again, why should they rejoice? Because the devil and his angels are no longer there. But then it says, woe to whom? The inhabitants of the earth and the sea. That's you and me. Why? For the devil has what? Has come down to you. Having what? Not just wrath, but what kind of wrath? Great wrath. The devil is ticked off. Why? Because he knows that that's an important word, knows. That means that the devil is intelligent. He has knowledge. He knows some things. He knows that he has what? A short time. I would underscore those two words, short time. He has a short time. And for a short time tonight, if you will, I want to use as a subject the two-minute warning.
Yes, sir.
The two-minute warning. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell him or her, we're living in the 2-minute warning. We're living in the 2-minute warning. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. And you know that the storm, the clouds may rise, and you know that strong a wind may blow, and will and I tell the world, I tell them wherever I go, and you know that I have found the Savior, and he is sweet, I know, and I'm singing, he's sweet, I know. I tell you, Jesus is so sweet, I know, and sometimes the storm, a cloud may rise, and you know that strong a winds may blow, and oh, and I tell the world, I tell them wherever I go, and you know that I have found the sick Savior, and he sweet I know. The 2-minute warning. Those of you who are football fans know and understand that the 2-minute warning is a time period in the NFL in which the offense has 2 minutes to score, and the defense has 2 minutes to prevent a score. During the 2-minute warning, Brother Jones, players are taught and trained to use the clock wisely. Coaches tell receivers and running backs when they catch the ball to get out of bounds to stop the clock. They tell the quarterback, to rush up to the line of scrimmage and to preserve time. He'll spike the ball in order to stop the clock. Because, you see, during the 2-minute warning, everybody realizes just how valuable time really is. Well, according to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 12, even the devil realizes that he is living in the 2-minute warning. The devil himself knows that his time is short. His time is limited. The devil understands that he must make the most of his time before he and his demons are eternally destroyed. You see, the Bible informs us that the devil exists to steal our health, to kill our minds, and to destroy our souls. Am I right about it? That's why Jesus could say in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, you can help me quote it. He says, the thief comes not but to what? But to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That thief in that verse represents that old devil. You see, the devil knows that he is destined for eternal destruction. Consequently, his aim and intent are to carry all he can to hell with him. Follow me very quickly, if you will, to Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. Just in case you don't know, I want to inform you that the devil knows where he's going. Revelation chapter 20, rather, in verse number 10. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. And the word of God says, the devil who deceived them was cast where? Into the lake of fire and what? brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented. How often? Day and night. For how long? Forever. And the devil knows exactly where he's going. But let me show you something. The devil does not intend to go to hell all by himself. The devil intends to gather up all he can to take with him to eternal damnation. And brothers and sisters, that explains to me the prevalence of drugs and alcohol abuse in our world. This explains the prevalence of corruption and immorality in our land. This explains the prevalence of division and deception in our religious world. The devil knows that he's living in the 2-minute warning. This explains the prevalence of crime and violence across our land and country. Why? Because the devil is at work, because he knows that he has but a short time. Let me give you some examples here very briefly. In September 2010, Stanley Neese of Jackson, Kentucky, shot and killed his wife, his stepdaughter, and three others because he said, quote, he was enraged over how his wife cooked his eggs, end of quote. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we're living in the 2-minute warning. In July 2012, James Holmes, a 25-year-old resident of Aurora, Colorado, y'all remember this, set off several gas or smoke canisters and then opened fire on a theater audience. You remember that? Killing 12 people and wounding 58 others. I'm telling you, the devil knows that he's living in the 2-minute warning. 5 months later, December 2012, Adam Lanza, a 20-year-old resident of Newtown, Connecticut, shot and killed 20 innocent children and 6 staff members before turning the gun on himself. I'm telling you, we're living in the 2-minute warning. You see, the devil is the author of all the evil and wickedness we observe in our world today, because I'm telling you, we're living in the 2-minute warning. The devil knows that he has but a short time. Many of us, how many of us this evening really understand what time it is? Somebody has said it's 13 o'clock. In other words, it's later than it's ever been before. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I've come to remind all of us this evening that time is winding down and time is winding up. But the question tonight is, what are you doing with your time? Are you making the most of your time for God, or are you using your time for the devil? What are you doing during this 2-minute warning? The Bible talks a lot about time. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. And he says, and do this, knowing what? The time. That now it is what? It is high time to awake out of sleep. Why? Because now is our salvation what? Nearer than when we first believe. How many of us remember reciting that little bedtime prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord what? My soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that since we're living in the 2-minute warning, we need to alter that prayer. Instead of saying, if I die before I wake, some of us need to be praying, Lord, help me to wake up before I die. Are y'all with me this evening? In Galatians 6 and verse number 10, the Apostle Paul said there, as we therefore have what? Opportunity, let us do what? Do good to all men, especially those who are what? Who are of the household of faith. Why did he say, as we therefore have opportunity? Because he's reminding us that we're living in the 2-minute warning. There will come a time when we will not have the opportunity to do good. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 16, the Apostle Paul said again, redeeming what? The time. One translation says, buying back the time or making the most of your time. Why? Because the days are evil. Paul is saying that we're living in the 2-minute warning. I don't know about you tonight, but I just firmly believe that time is out for us to go around here shucking and jiving, slipping and sliding, hoping and doping, smoking and choking, lying and spying. Y'all don't hear me tonight. Faking and shaking. Time is out because we're living in the 2-minute warning. You see, the devil knows something that most of us have failed to realize, and that is he knows that he has but a short time. Let us look at this text tonight, because there are 3 points that I want to emphasize, and then the lesson will be yours. First of all, I want us to look at God's woman, if you will. Now, I'm not talking about a physical woman. I want to make that clear. I remember teaching this lesson one time at the congregation I serve. A new convert got the wrong understanding. He thought I was talking about God had a literal physical woman. No, I'm going to explain to you what the woman represents here in the text on tonight. And then I want us to look at God's child. And then I want us to look tonight at God's seed. And show you how all of this ties in with the 2-minute warning. Let's look, first of all, because I want you to see that the devil tried to destroy God's woman. Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse number 1. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. Listen to what John records here. He says, now a great sign appeared in heaven. He says, a woman clothed with what? With the sun. And he says, with the moon under her feet. You see, this was a regal woman. This was a woman of royalty. And I'm here to remind us that God's woman, God's people are regal and royal people. Am I right about it? That's why Peter could say in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, but you are what? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Am I right about it? To show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then it says here in Revelation 12 and verse 1, he says that with the moon under her feet and on her head a garland or a crown of what? 12 stars. This is how we know that this woman was God's woman, because the number 12 represents God's people, like the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles. This woman was God's woman. All right, are y'all with me? Now, some scholars have contended that the woman here refers to the nation of Israel. Other commentators have noted that the woman refers to Mary, the mother of Jesus. But I maintain that it's better to conclude that the woman here represents God's purpose or God's plan. And I want to show you tonight that the devil was trying to destroy God's plan. Drop down, if you will, to verse number 13. Revelation 12 and verse 13. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. All right, I want to show you that this woman was God connected. She was God related. Look at verse 13. And when the dragon, now you know who that dragon is. That dragon is that old devil, that snake in the grass, that thief, that murderer and liar from the beginning, that roaring lion. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted who? The woman who gave birth to the male child. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But the woman was given what? 2 wings. And we heard that song, 2 wings. 2 wings to veil my face. 2 wings to veil my feet. 2 wings to fly away, and the world can't do me no harm. I'm here to show you tonight that God gave this woman protection. That's what the wings represent. And notice it said the wings of a what? Not of a robin, not of a mockingbird, not of a hummingbird, but of what? Of a great eagle. That eagle is a majestic bird. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? When God gives his children protection, he always gives us the best protection. Am I right about it? And that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, and where she is nourished for a time. and times and half a time. This is referring to an indefinite period of time from the presence of the serpent. Look at verse 15. So the serpent spewed what? Water out of his mouth. That's the way the devil operates. The devil will spit foul language out of his mouth, trying to destroy God's people. He'll shoot his darts of despair and discouragement, his spears of sin and corruption. He will pour out words of evil and wickedness, trying to ensnare and entrap God's people. But I'm here to show you tonight, if God is for you, that old devil can't do you any harm. Is that all right tonight? The Bible says, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. In other words, he was trying to destroy this woman. But look at verse number 16. But what happened? But the earth did what? Help the woman. I'm here to show you that God, how many of y'all know that God will help you when the devil is on your track, trying hard to turn you back, trying to destroy you, trying to divide your family, trying to disrupt the unity of the church? I'm here to show you that God has a way of helping his people even now. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. How does that apply to us today? When the devil spits foul language out of his mouth trying to destroy us, God will protect us. God is a preserver, brothers and sisters, and God will always provide and protect his own people. And so the devil tried to destroy God's woman, God's purpose, but he failed. But let me show you something else. If you back up to verse number 2, the woman was pregnant. Am I right about it? She was, listen to verse 2. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. And being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. Listen to verse number 4. His tail, well, verse 3, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery dragon having what? Seven heads. And then, and how many horns? 10 horns. The number 10 represents power. The number 7 represents completeness or completion. I want you to see here that the dragon had and still has impressive power, because it says here, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. Verse 4, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. And what did he want to do? To devour her child. Now, first of all, we know that this child here represents Jesus. Is that all right? It represents Jesus. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, because it goes on to say in verse number 5, he, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was what? Caught up to God and his throne. Who was this baby? This was Mary's little lamb, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, the our rock in a weary land, the rock of ages, the rock of our salvation. This man Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But what I want you to see is that the devil tried to destroy him as soon as he was born. Am I right about it? Now, when you back up to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, you remember when Jesus was born. Herod, you remember that scenario there. The wise men came looking for a king that was born to the Jews, and they asked, where is he that is born of the king of the Jews? And Herod sent forth instructions saying that, I want you to go and look for that little baby, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I might go and what? Worship him. Lying rascal, he didn't want to go worship baby Jesus. He wanted to go and find that baby and kill him. But I thank God he didn't find baby Jesus, because had he found him, killed him, we would have no salvation. We would have no redemption, no reconciliation, no forgiveness of sins, and we wouldn't have the blood-bought church. We wouldn't be able to sing tonight, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now, thank God, I see. Had he found baby Jesus and killed him, we wouldn't be able to sing tonight at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Had he found baby Jesus and killed him, we wouldn't be able to sing tonight. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Do y'all hear what I'm saying tonight? Thank God he didn't find baby Jesus. For the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2 and the end of verse 4 that he was standing there to devour the child. That's a very powerful word, because this word, if y'all don't mind my sharing this with you, my mentor, Brother Gibbs, Shelton Gibbs III, taught me that when the Lord gives you something, don't keep it to yourself. You ought to share it with God's people. Behind this word, devour, is a Greek word that looks just like that. Kata pino. Can you say that with me? Kata pino. Kata means damn. And pino means to drink. So when the Bible says the devil was standing there to devour that child, that meant that he wanted to drink him down. That's another way of saying he wanted to swallow the baby whole. This same word appears in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse number 8. You could help me quote it tonight, where Peter said, be sober, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, is just like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may catapino, drink you down, swallow you whole. You see, it's one thing to eat a steak. It's another thing to swallow a steak. The devil doesn't want to eat us. The devil wants to swallow us whole. We might play with the devil, but I'm trying to tell you tonight, the devil ain't playing with us. And that's why even today, brothers and sisters, I'm here to remind us that the devil wants to kill our babies. He wants to swallow our babies through abortion and drugs, illicit sex, AIDS, gang violence. The devil is trying to destroy our beautiful babies today. And that's why as parents, that's why, you know, becoming a parent, that's a serious thing. Are y'all with me? Maybe y'all don't have this problem in Tennessee, but in Texas, we have too many unwed mothers, unwed fathers, guys who are making babies and not taking care of them. Are you with me? And these children are growing up without any kind of hope, without any kind of guidance. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? That's nothing but the work of the devil. And we got to fight for our children. Even children growing up in single parent homes. Parents, we've got to work. Husband and wives, mothers and fathers have got to collaborate, work together to fight that old devil off. Because he wants to destroy our beautiful young men, our handsome young men, and our beautiful girls. Are y'all with me? Yeah, he's not playing. He's not playing games. And that's why I don't play with the devil, brothers and sisters. I don't play with the devil, because I know what he can do. I've done too many funerals in my ministry. I buried too many young folk to know what the devil can do. Are y'all with me? Just as he was there when Jesus was waiting for that little baby, he's waiting to destroy our children today. But I thank God that God, the Bible says in verse 5, that she bore a male child. A male child, especially the males. Help me, somebody. The devil wants our males. Because if he can destroy the men, he can destroy the leaders of the home. Are y'all with me? That's the key right there. And Psalm 127 and verse 1, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house. I know, yes, that can apply to the church, but primarily that applies to the family, except the Lord build the house. The family, they labor in vain that built it. Then it goes on to say that children are what? A heritage. Don't you know? How many of y'all believe that? Can you wave at me? How many know that children are blessings from the Lord? Amen. Children are blessings. I know sometimes they can get on your last nerve, but I'm here to tell you tonight, they are still blessings from the Lord. And then he says in verse number 5 of that text, in Psalm 127, that happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. That they should be like arrows. What do you do with an arrow? You aim that arrow. You shoot that arrow. Are y'all with me? And I believe that we ought to be aiming for the bullseye. And that bullseye ought to be God. Is that all right? Aim for that bullseye. Nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with athletics and all that stuff. But I want my children to be committed to God. Because that lets me know wherever they go, to the East Coast or West Coast, if they stay with God, everything will be all right. But some of us are trying to make movie stars. Help me, somebody. Celebrities out of our children. When I don't know about you, I want my daughters to be connected to God. Because if that happens, everything else will fall in. Is that all right tonight? We'll fall into play. I'm trying to show you that just as that devil was waiting to catapino, to drink down that little baby, that male child, he wants to do the same to our little boys and our little girls today. But then it says in verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Which is an echo of Psalm 2. That's how we know that this little baby was Jesus, and her child was caught up to who? Caught up to God and his throne. Oh, thank God that he protected his little baby. So check this out. This leads us to my third and final point. I'm going to show you how the devil works. He tried to destroy the woman. Couldn't do it. Tried to destroy the little baby. Brother Jones, couldn't do it. Well, now, but let me show you what he's doing now. Drop down to verse 17. Verse 17, the devil, let me show you something. The devil is still working. Are y'all with me? Look at verse 17. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. And the dragon was what? Was enraged. He was raw. He was ticked off with who? With the woman, God's purpose. Because he couldn't destroy it. And he went to do what? To play around with. To shake hands, to pat him on the back. Is that what he's saying? How many of y'all, can y'all wave at me? How many of you know that we're at war? And went to make war with who? The remnant of her seed. What is the seed? I'm glad you asked that question tonight. In Galatians chapter 3. And verse number 29. But let's go ahead and back up to verse number 26, where Paul says there, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28, he said, but there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. Let me back up there. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Aren't you glad to know that in the family of God, doesn't matter what one's racial status is, everybody's welcome in God's church. Am I right about it? There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. When it comes to membership and citizenship in the kingdom of God, aren't you glad to know that there are no big eyes and little U's? Everybody is somebody in the church of Christ. And then he goes on to say, there's neither bond nor free. That lets me know, I don't care if you're from the projects or the palace, you're somebody in the Lord's church. I don't care if you came from the White House or the outhouse, you're somebody in the Lord's church. I don't care, help me somebody, if you came from Hale University or Yale University, you're somebody in the body of Christ. You can be in the state
pen or in Penn State, you're still somebody in the church. Is that all right tonight? For the Bible said we are all one in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse number 29 that if you belong to Christ, then are you what? Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. So the seed here is the church of Christ. The devil tried to destroy God's woman. Couldn't do it. Tried to destroy God's little baby. But he couldn't do it. And now the devil works 24/7. Trying to destroy the church of Christ. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? The devil is at war with us, and we are at war with him. And I'm here to remind you, that's why you got to wake up every day with the mentality that I'm going to war this morning. I'm going to war on my job. I'm going to war. And you got to be prepared by putting on the whole arm of God. Are y'all with me tonight? Because how many of you work at places where you got immoral people who got a wife but trying to hit on other women? How many of you work at places where, help me somebody, where you got men on the job, help me somebody, and ladies on the job who you can't even distinguish whether or not they are men or women? I'm telling you, we're at war, church. Are y'all with me? And that's why if there were ever a time we needed the Lord, that time is now. Because it seems that everything nailed down is coming loose. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you we're in the two-minute warning. Oh, yes, we are. Because we're living in a time where men are marrying men. And women are marrying women. Say amen when you can. We're living in a two-minute warning. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. We are living in a two-minute warning because people are coming out of the closet to play. Instead of growing into the closet to pray. Somebody ought to help me tonight. Oh, yes, we're living in the two-minute warning. I know we're living in the two-minute warning because public officials have taken the Ten Commandments and prayer out of the schools. And they put the condoms and moral pollution in the schools. Say amen when you can. We're living in the two-minute warning. I know we are because our world is a topsy-turvy world. There was a time, Brother Daniels, when we had pretty women and hard-working men. But now we flipped the script. We got pretty men and hard-working women. Somebody ought to say amen. There was a time when right was right and wrong was wrong. But now these days, right is wrong and wrong is right. I'm telling you, we're living in the two-minute warning. And some of this moral decadence has dripped into the church of Christ because some of our preachers are compromising the word of God, no longer standing for the one Lord, one faith, and the one baptism. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't care how much education the God of heaven has blessed me with, I'm going to take my stand on the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Some preachers have misplaced priorities. They're preoccupied with power, prestige, and popularity. Then they are proclaiming the principles of the Prince of Peace. Some church leaders care more about saving money than in saving souls. Some of our congregations are splitting up left and right. Folk on the south side don't even fellowship with folk on the north side. Folk on the east side can't stand folk on the west side. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if we can't get it together down here, how in the world are we going to praise God up yonder in the bind? Are y'all with me tonight? I'm trying to show you how the devil has infiltrated the church and he's turned members against one another. Even some of our church members spend more time on Facebook than they do with their face in the book. I'm trying to show you tonight, brothers and sisters, we're living in the two-minute warning. The problem is so many of us don't realize the urgency of the moment. It's high time for sour Christians to sweeten up and fallen Christians to stand up and lying Christians to shut up and sleeping Christians to wake up and stingy Christians need to give up. Preach on, Brother Robinson.
In other words, brothers and sisters, I'm trying to show you tonight, we're living in the two-minute warning. Let me calm down here. I don't mean to get excited. But I'm trying to help us to understand that this is real here. From the inception of time, from the beginning of time, the devil has been at work trying to withstand and oppose God's plan. He couldn't succeed, and so he tried to destroy the little baby, but he failed. And then the Bible says he was angry with the woman, couldn't destroy her, and so he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's you and me, brothers and sisters. The devil knows that the only way he can hurt God is by hurting you and me. Why do you think you are attacked on your job? Why do you think you're being attacked at school? And maybe even in your home? Because the devil knows that the only way he can get to God is through us. And that's why when you are hurt, when you suffer attacks and assaults by the devil, don't run away from God. Run to God. Because God is the source of your strength. God is the source of your security and your serenity. Am I right about it? Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, stay with the Lord, because I'm telling you, we're living in the two-minute warning. The next time you watch a football game, notice when that game is closed, notice how everything changes during that. Everything is very intense, because the game is almost over. And I'm here to show you tonight, what I've tried to show you tonight, is that the devil knows that he has but a short time. And that's why, brothers and sisters, one of the best things we can do in the church is not only stay with God, but stay with one another. Amen. Stay together. Is that all right? Stick together. Stick together. Is that all right? Reminds me of a story that I heard one time about this man and his wife who were out on a lake. They were fishing. And the man happened to catch a big fish. He was trying to reel it in, and his wife became so excited that she fell over into the water. She couldn't swim, and so he began reaching out to his wife, trying to save her. So he grabbed her by her hair, and a wig came off. He then grabbed her by her mouth, and her false teeth came out. And then one last straw, he grabbed her by the leg, and her wooden leg came off. And so finally, in frustration, he said, "Honey, if you want me to save you, you're going to have to stick together." And brothers and sisters, the moral of that story is that if we want to be saved, if we want to stand together and fight that old devil, we got to learn how to stick together. Is that all right tonight? And to my young people who are here tonight, don't let the devil use you. Don't let the devil use you. Have you ever noticed sometimes when a football player, you know, when he's trying to cross that goal line? I used to be a Dallas Cowboy fan, but I cut those rascals loose. That's a long story. I ain't gonna mess with that. But I remember when Emmitt Smith used to run that ball, and it's, you know, as long as he's trying to cross that goal line, he'll hold that ball tightly. But notice that as soon as he scores, you know what he's gonna do with that ball? How many of y'all remember Billy White Shoes Johnson? Oh, yeah, that was my guy right there. Who throw that ball down, do that little dance. Y'all remember that? Good. That was a good old day. But here's the analogy. Young ladies, some dudes who don't have the Lord, here's how they operate. As long as they're trying to score, they're going to keep you close. They're going to sweet talk you. Yeah. Oh, honey, you got it going on. I know you from Tennessee, but you the only 10 I see. And so, he gonna sweet talk you. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But as soon as that rascal scores, do y'all hear what I'm saying? He's gonna throw you away.
Young ladies, don't fall for that. Young men, that goes for you too. Don't go. Tell them, show me the ring. Turn your neighbor. Show me the ring. Show me the ring. I'm worth waiting for. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? The devil is not playing with us. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Because we're living in the 2-minute warning. Thank you for your attention this evening. I pray that something has been said to cause all of us to think more seriously, because time is winding up. Time is winding down. Now's the time to make our calling an election sure. If you're here tonight, you're not a part of God's family, we want to invite you to come on. Come on tonight. Become a part of God's family. How do you do that? You come by hearing the word, Romans 10:17. You must then believe what you've heard, be willing to repent of your sins, and confess with your mouth Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God. If you're willing to do that, you can be baptized tonight. All of your sins will be washed away. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God will add you to his church. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, the Bible said that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's a narrative in Revelation chapter 6 that who shall be able to stand? And then Revelation 7 explains that those who have the seal, is the Holy Spirit. When you have the seal, you don't have to be afraid of the day of judgment. Because that means that you belong to God. God belongs to you. But you have to be a part of his family. If you're already a part of the Lord's family, but you're under assault, under attack at your job, at work, at school, or even in your home, you need prayer. We're here to pray with you and for you, because there's power in prayer. James chapter 5 and verse 16, you can help me quote it. The Bible says, confess what? Your fault. Not somebody else's fault. A lot of folk are good at that. Confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The fervent, effectual prayer, what kind of man? A righteous man avails much. There's a song on page 573. I know you know it. I shall not be moved. If you know you need to come, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Why don't you come on right now as together we stand and sing. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah, I shall not be moved. Will I make it in Jehovah? I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, will and I shall not be moved. Oh, I'm singing, I shall not be, Oh, glory, I shall not be, moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, and I shall not be moved. Well, you know that in his love abiding I shall not be moved. You know, and in him confiding I, just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, and I shall not be moved. Oh, you know that I shall not, glory, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, and I shall not be moved. Well, you know, and though all hell assail me, I shall not. Oh, you know, my Jesus with me, I shall not be moved. Just like tree that's planted by the water. Altars, you know that I shall not be moved. Oh, I'm singing, I shall not. Oh, you know that I shall not. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, and I shall not be moved. Well, you know that though the tempest raged
Jesus, shall you know I'm on the rock of ages. I be moved just like a tree that's planted by the water. You know that I shall not be moved. Oh, you know that I
may be seated.
I shall not be moved. Oh, you know.